This is Success Journal Podcast number 18. I'm Chris Whitting. Coming up on this episode, where you are today is the result of all the decisions you made in the past. We'll look at how super successful people make their decisions. Then, best-selling author Michael Gerber reveals a system you can apply to turn any small business into a cash machine.
You could take any example of any extraordinary company and do identically the same thing for any service or any product. Anybody can do it.
And when a man finds a cure for dry, chapped skin, his life gets very smooth. Plus, you'll discover the hidden connections between losing weight and gaining money.
You know, we didn't get like this on our own. This is not something that happened. We went to bed one night, and the next night we didn't have enough money and we put on a lot of weight. This is programming that's been happening to us our entire lives.
And a woman sells perfume and turns 1 cent into millions. Success Journal starts right now. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/successjournal. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The Success Journal Podcast. Informative advice from leading experts. Helpful, practical tips to enhance your career, your income, and your personal freedom. The Success Journal Podcast with Chris Whitting.
Hello and welcome. You know, I really enjoy doing these podcasts, and one reason is all the interesting things that I get to learn from the guests we interview. And our first guest today, Michael Gerber, has some great advice and fascinating info to share with us. Michael is standing by for our interview, which is just minutes away. But first, where you are in your life is the result of all the decisions you've made until now. So it might be worth looking at how you make those decisions. And when you look at successful people, you find they make decisions quickly and change their minds slowly. Unsuccessful people make decisions slowly and change their minds quickly. And when you think about that, there is a huge difference between those two methods of decision making. When faced with having to make a decision, it almost doesn't matter what decision you make. What really matters is your commitment to the decision once you make it. People typically regret decisions because they keep looking back and wondering if they'd made a different decision. And successful people, well, they make a decision, commit to it, and then they don't look back. And that comes from Andy Andrews, who's the author of The Traveler's Gift. Well, it's time now for a 60-second Success Journal story about a man who finds the cure for chapped, dry skin, and soon his life is very smooth. Dry, chapped hands are no fun to have. Cal Johnson decided to do something about it. He'd noticed that most folks use harsh soap made from fatty acids, which dries out the skin. Cal studied the history of soap and learned that long ago, a few clever guys had cleaned up by making vegetable oil soap. Copying their old-time formula wasn't easy, but Cal eventually raised the bar in the soap industry. He blended two kinds of common vegetable oil to create a soap that left skin smooth, and that spelled the end of dishpan hands. You may know the two kinds of oil he used, palm oil and olive oil. Together, they became a famous brand name. Palmolive, still soaking up the cash. Michael Gerber wrote the book on why many small businesses don't work and what to do about it. His book, E-Myth Revisited, is one of the 5 top-selling business books of all time. It's been translated into 27 languages and is required reading in many MBA programs. You might even say Michael Gerber's E-Myth books are required reading for anybody starting a business or who already has a business. Michael, for those who aren't familiar with your work, let's start with a basic question. What exactly is the E-Myth?
E-Myth stands for the entrepreneurial myth, essentially that people who go into business aren't the entrepreneurs that everybody presumes them to be, but in fact are what I call technicians suffering from an entrepreneurial seizure. So the cook opens up a restaurant, the auto mechanic opens up an auto repair business, the software guy a software business, the hardware guy a hardware business, and each of them think that because they understand how to do the technical work of the business, they understand how to build a business that does that technical work. And in fact, it is the fatal assumption underneath the failure of so many small businesses.
And what your concept behind this was to develop systems that business owners could use to make their business work better, be more successful, and free the owner to be able to be an entrepreneur once again.
And as I put it, it's really about going to work on the business as opposed to going to work in the business as everybody does. On the business means to begin to see the business through the eyes of an entrepreneur as opposed to through the eyes of a person who's dedicated to working for a living. Entrepreneurs invent companies that work, and a company that works is a completely integrated system. As you said, it's a system that, in fact, enables the company to perform in exactly the way the entrepreneur envisions the company performing, but without having to depend upon every single person to make up their mind about how they're going to do this or how they're going to do that.
In several of your books, you share a story about walking into a McDonald's restaurant and having a sudden realization. Would you mind telling that story again for our listeners?
No, I'd be glad to. In fact, it was one of the primary epiphanies that occurred to me over 35 years ago. I walked into McDonald's to get some food, and I walked out of McDonald's with a completely unique perception of business reality. It was obvious to me that Ray Kroc was an inventor. He invented a business. He designed a company to work in an absolutely exquisite way that would enable kids at minimum wage to be able to produce predictable, very, very, very competitive results without any understanding of how to do that. And they were able to do that because Ray Kroc's company had a system, the McDonald's system, through which McDonald's was capable of producing stunning results consistently.
You talk about the five realities of the entrepreneur, and one you've mentioned several times already is that the entrepreneur is an inventor. Perhaps you can elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, absolutely. The entrepreneur is the inventor in us, the creator in us. Walt Disney called him or her the Imagineer, the one who sees something different from the way other people see it, sees, in fact, the accidents that are constantly happening that intrude upon the result that a company is there to produce, and invents a method through which, or a system through which, the company can, in fact, be intended to produce that very specific result again and again and again and again. So you might say that Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's and the one who invented this extraordinary system, is or was a systems thinker extraordinaire, which is in fact what entrepreneurs are.
And you also go on to say another reality is we might think that someone who buys a franchise and opens a store is an entrepreneur, but you would disagree with that definition, I'm sure.
Well, I would, because in fact, entrepreneurs make the worst franchisees in the world, not the best. Entrepreneurs are constantly inventing. Entrepreneurs are constantly reconfiguring reality. Well, obviously, the one who created the franchise in the first place is the true entrepreneur. The one who buys the franchise from the franchisor is in fact not an entrepreneur, but typically either a technician or, yet better, a manager who is going to take the system that the franchisor invented and replicate it faithfully again and again and again and again.
Now, one of the things you say that's very interesting, and it perhaps runs counter to what a lot of people think, you believe anybody could be an entrepreneur.
I believe everybody is. I believe, in fact, the only reason most people don't pursue entrepreneurship as their calling is because they truly believe only special people can do it. In fact, anybody and everybody is what I call a creator. We all have a creative instinct in us, but unfortunately, it's typically killed very, very early on in our lives because creativity is dangerous. Creativity is constantly asking the question, what if? And people don't want you to ask the question, what if, or why not, or I wonder what would happen if I were to do it this way or do it that way. Inventors do that constantly. Entrepreneurs are inventors of business products. A business is, after all, from an entrepreneurial perspective, a product, a highly differentiated product, a product that works better than other products, and entrepreneurs love to create that new, that unwitting, that incredibly creative business that is able to produce a very particular result that will give customers something they can't get from anyone else.
Yeah, and I like the way you describe that it's almost like show business. You get the thrill out of pleasing the audience out there.
Well, absolutely, and it is show business. All business is show business. Show business is simply putting on a show, and great companies put on a show. And if they put on a show that is attractive, exciting, an incredible experience for the people who come to experience or see or participate in the show, then they do their job well. If they don't, it fails. And so entrepreneurs are very, very clear that it is the show, put on the show, and if no show, you might as well shut up and start another one.
You say there are different parts of an entrepreneur's personality. Can you explain that?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, of course, is the dreamer. The dreamer has a dream. Secondly is the thinker. The thinker has a vision. Third of all is the storyteller. And the storyteller has a purpose. And finally, there's the leader, and the leader has a mission. So you can intuitively experience, even as I say that, that you're going from the dream, which is the most abstract, you might call it the great result, all the way down through the stages of development to the point of it being manifested in reality on the street. So you might say it's bringing heaven to earth. The dreamer dreams, the thinker has a vision and clarifies that dream into very specific particulars. The storyteller tells the story of the impact of this on the person who is most likely the customer of this dream, this vision. And finally, the leader takes that story and puts it into action. So the dream I had for Emyth, for example, was to transform the state of small business worldwide. The vision I had at Emyth was to invent the McDonald's of small business consulting. The purpose I had at Emyth was to transform the lives of anybody who would ever start a small business, to assure them of success. And the mission that I had for Emyth Worldwide, my very first company, was to invent a turnkey consulting system, business development system, that I could teach to a relative novice without any business experience whatsoever. And through the use of that business development system, that relative novice consultant could now improve the success rate of any small business owner and any small business, no matter what the industry, no matter whether it's high tech, low tech, or no tech, at less than the cost of a minimum wage kid. Now, that's impossible to do, and that's what everybody told me when, in fact, I told them what my dream, my vision, my purpose, and my mission were at that very beginning.
Yeah,
and of course, that's what every entrepreneur does.
Sure. You describe going through the situation when you were starting Emyth, and you had a dream and people tried to discourage you. And one question I have about this whole process is, in your case, as you tell the story, you had had this dream and there was a fellow named Tom who basically played the role of the thinker in this process of building your company. Is it possible for one person to be all of these four people, or do you need somebody to be with you who has these other qualities?
The answer to the question is both yes and no. First of all, it's obvious that any one of us can play each of those roles, and to the degree we stretch, we develop ourselves to play each of those roles, those divisions in the personality or mindset of the entrepreneur, better and better and better and better. In other words, I learn to think better. I learn to tell my story better. I learn to lead better. And of course, I learn to dream better. But also, of course, the other part is true, that you need other people. And so you try to surround yourself with people who can strengthen those four parts of yourself, not to replace you in those roles, because the entrepreneur is not to be replaced in those roles, but to assist you in developing your ability to operate within those roles, to think within those roles, to envision within those roles, etc., and so forth. And that's exactly what Tom was to me.
Howard Schultz founded Starbucks, and he built the company through massive expansion. And then he took an 8-year hiatus before coming back again as the CEO. And he's since become executive chairman. Regarding his leaving and then coming back, does that apply in any way to your E-Myth philosophy?
Well, it could apply and it could not. But essentially what he felt, and I can only presume to know what Howard Schultz felt, was that the company had essentially lost its way, that it was so focused on growth that it had missed, in fact, the key ingredients that enabled it to actually grow as well as it did. And that was the fundamental ability to provide its customers with a feeling, an experience, unlike any other experience they might have in any other coffee store. So effectively, he went back to lead that. He had gotten away from that and had taken, you might say, the titular leadership role in a company. But he had left behind the operational leadership role, and he decided he had to go back to reinstill the company, if it could be done, with the same extraordinary zeal that enabled it to become the world leader that it is.
Michael, for somebody listening right now who's ever dreamed of becoming an entrepreneur or perhaps is about to start a business, obviously they can read your books, but give us a little positive inspiration here.
We're saying that all of us, each and every single one of us, have the opportunity to invent a stunningly effective small company, and that that stunningly effective small company can be grown to become a stunningly effective very, very large company. And it's just like Lego blocks to do that. It's a very clear system. It's a step-by-step process. Going from the dream to the vision to the purpose to the mission is very, very clearly definable and doable by anybody. Step-by-step way to go from what I call a practice, which is the very, very small elemental unit of a complete operating company with the three essential systems that need to be built in order for anybody to do anything, and how to grow that practice into a business by simply replicating the practice, and then by creating the business into an enterprise by replicating the business. So essentially I'm saying you could take Starbucks example, you could take McDonald's example, you could take Walmart's example, you could take any example of any extraordinary company and do identically the same thing for any service or any product that you choose to pursue. Anybody can do it.
And you would say that the success of the Walmarts, the McDonald's, the Starbucks, these companies are due to the fact that they have followed these practices in their own businesses.
Absolutely. In fact, they're the perfect exemplars of this. You know, people say to me all the time, Michael, can you let go of McDonald's? Can you give us a new example? And I say, well, why would I bother doing that? McDonald's is a multi-billion dollar enterprise. Anybody can do exactly what McDonald's did. And that's the perfect model for exactly anyone beginning as an entrepreneur. And so I'm saying, if you want to learn how to become an exquisitely effective entrepreneur, all you have to do is to take an ordinary product, call it coffee, call it a hamburger, call it mowing a lawn, and turn it into an exquisitely designed product called McDonald's, called Starbucks, called whatever you want to call it. And you can immediately see that the opportunity to grow as an entrepreneur and to impact the world in an entrepreneurial way is as alive today as it's ever been. Anybody can do it. Step by step, phenomenal way to succeed.
Michael Gerber, author of E-Myth Revisited, thanks for joining us today.
My delight. Thank you.
Still to come, the fascinating correlation between weight loss and financial gain. And then, the story of a woman who sells perfume and turns 1 cent into millions. For you, the listeners of the Success Journal podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. And there's a great book I want to recommend wholeheartedly to you. It could easily be called life-changing, yet it's been around for decades. And when I tell you it was written by Dale Carnegie, you'll probably assume I'm talking about How to Win Friends and Influence People. No, that is not it. The book I think is much more powerful is titled How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. How to Stop Worrying and Start Living by Dale Carnegie. It is old school, but it is packed with brilliant, time-tested advice that's going to hit you right between the ears. And the audiobook is unabridged, narrated by the late, great Andrew McMillan. And you can get the audiobook, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, or any other book you want, absolutely free. Just go to audibletrial.com/Success Journal. That's audibletrial.com/Success Journal. If you could look at most people's wish lists, those lists would probably include these two items: make more money and lose some weight. Well, there's actually a book that explores the crossroads of these two almost universal desires. In fact, the title is How to Lose Weight and Gain Money. And you'll be interested to learn there is a connection in all this. Joining us is co-author Vivian Shapira.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be with you.
Vivian, fill us in here. What is the connection between losing weight and gaining money?
Well, it's a very strong connection, actually, and it's so strong that we have established something called the behavioral bridge, which is 7 points which connect the behavior patterns which result either in weight gain and money loss or the opposite. And there's excessive consumption. If you consume excessively, you're going to gain weight, you're going to lose money.
Mm-hmm.
There's an imbalance between what's coming in and what's going out. Loss of control. This is something that people really need to identify, is when they've lost control of their circumstances, what they eat, what they spend, when they don't know how much money they're earning, when they don't know how much they're eating, when they don't know how much they're spending. This loss of control is a big one, of course. Comfort seeking. We spend money, we eat, both to seek comfort. Genetics and family patterns, very big. We are very much programmed by our families, what we've inherited, and it can be people we've never met. It's both weight, our constitution, how we metabolize, that is handed down from generation to generation, and also patterns to do with money. This has been quite fascinating for me to see how people's relationship with money is actually genetically encoded. And then, of course, we have the dynamics of the family patterns. Very clearly, these things teach us about eating and about how to spend money or manage money. And it's an insidious process, or it can be a wonderful process. Some people learn very good things in their families and have very good genetics. But either way, both weight and money seem to be determined by genetics and family patterns.
Now, interestingly enough, you are a health and psychology expert. Your co-author, Drew Logan, is a money expert. How did you two get together and decide to write this book?
That is a very interesting story, because we were working on two boards. One was for a martial arts school, one was for a non-profit. And I would come from the energetic angle and my psychology understanding and what I know about businesses and so on. And he was coming purely from the money angle, and we would always meet at the same place. When it came to handling money and managing money and how much to spend and how to get things going in the right direction, we would always arrive at the same place, each coming from our own point of view. And so we decided to write a book about the energy of money and about the technicalities of money, both combining our respective expertise. Weight and money issues are symptoms of a deeper problem. They're symptoms of other things in our lives that are not in order.
Well, Vivian, if we determine that we maybe are falling into this category and we're suffering in some part of our life, what steps can we take to get back on course, to get back on the right path?
The first two steps you want to take is to just determine, are you doing what is true to yourself? Is this what you really want for yourself in your life? Take a look at what you put on your plate when you go to the buffet or when you're eating your dinner, and ask yourself, if you could be exactly who you mean to be in your life, is this the plate of food you would be choosing to eat? The way that you're running your day, is this what you choose for yourself? Is this who you are as an individual? Or are you being influenced by external forces that are pulling you off track? And by that I mean the track of being your real self, your true self. And the other is to regain control. And to do that, you have to determine what is pulling you off track. Is it something outside of you? Is it your programming? You know, we didn't get like this on our own. This is not something that happened. We went to bed one night, and the next night we didn't have enough money and we'd put on a lot of weight. This is programming that's been happening to us our entire lives. And if you can think of people who can help you, or organizations that can help you, or there are financial consultants, there are personal fitness consultants, there are all kinds of people to support you. We deserve that support. We deserve to access that help. And we deserve to figure out what it is we really want to do with our lives.
The book is How to Lose Weight and Gain Money, a program for putting your life in order. Vivian Shapira. Vivian, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much. It was fun.
Well, before this podcast is history, time for one more 60-second Success Journal story. This one about a woman who sells perfume and turns 1 cent into millions. Childhood was hard for little Gabrielle. Her mom died when she was just 12. Shuttled from orphanage to convent, the girl grew into a bold and unconventional woman. First, she was a nightclub singer, and then she got into fashion. After opening a dress company, she soon made a name for herself, thanks to her simple, elegant designs. Before long, customers began asking about perfumes. So, Gabrielle decided to sell her own brand. She had a chemist create 5 sample fragrances. When the bottles arrived, she decided the 5th fragrance was the best one. Sure enough, it became a top seller. Gabrielle's last name? Chanel. Chanel No. 5 is nothing to sniff at. It still earns millions. Well, I hope you're enjoying the sweet smell of success. Thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Chris Whitting for Success Journal, wishing you a very successful day.